Oh, Lord. Hello, everybody. My name is Sonia, and I am a grateful recovering addict. Whew, walking through these doors of this time was an experience that I didn't think I was going to hold into. I didn't know where to start. I didn't write nothing down. But I will tell you that my story did start when I was like 15, 16 years old and started smoking marijuana with my dad. And that's not good, Donna. And back then, my dad used to smoke Cools, and he was like, if you don't have a Cool, smoke a Newport. If you don't have a Newport, smoke Cool. So that's when I started my cigarettes. And then, you know, I was just on a marijuana, and some traumatic experiences happened during those times. Donna, sit down. I'm going to be doing a lot of mothering. I have four with me today, so excuse me. I started getting in trouble, hanging out with the guys down the street. And I think at 16, I got pregnant, had a miscarriage. I grew up in a one-parent home, nine children. My mother was good. She wasn't on drugs or anything. But my dad was in and out of my life. But I still love my daddy. That was my daddy. Couldn't nobody tell me nothing about my daddy. And so anyway, my dad came. This is where I think my life started falling apart, because I had a childhood. You know, even though my mom was a single parent, she gave us everything. We never stayed in the projects. We always stayed in the house. Even though it was Section 8, it was still a house. And she did the best she could. And so anyway, my dad came back in the picture, I say about 95. And he had just got out of prison. And my daddy was a crackhead too, just like me. That's my husband. He doesn't know how to get here, so I'm a little frustrated. Can I answer it real quick? It'll take a second. Let me show y'all what this life about. Hey, honey. Make a right on Right Road. And come all the way around, honey. Just follow the road and you'll see Austin Recovery. I ain't got to us yet. Babe. Okay. Okay, just come on. Yeah, you are. So anyway, so then I started getting in a whole bunch. Okay, well, keep coming, honey. Follow the road. Y'all, I was going to cry before I got here. I'm like, I'm be late. Oh, my God. My husband loves me, though. Anyway, so I was getting in trouble then. And yes, honey, it curves. It curves, and just follow the road, babe. Y'all, this is so much for me. You're almost here, honey. Do you see it?
No, I don't see it.
Okay, somebody will be out there in a minute, babe. Just follow the... Yeah. Okay, well, follow the... Okay. Just follow the road, babe.
Are we back
here
in the woods?
Yes, we in the woods. You see it?
I don't know. I see someone.
Well, that's us, babe. Okay, I gotta tell my story, babe. No, you wait. Go sit down. Okay, just sit with mommy. Okay, so anyway, I got in trouble, got my butt whooped a bunch. And so my dad came back in the picture. My mom started messing with my dad, but she had a husband or a boyfriend or whatever. And so I was so bad the judge ordered my father to move in with my mom. And when he did that, my mom's boyfriend got mad, which is my little brother's dad, and he shot mama, killed my dad in front of us. So that's my first traumatic that was like, whoa, for me. And I really got heavy into smoking weed and then into more boys and just living a life. Go sit down, boo-boo. Just sit down. He's here. Yay. No, Donna, she's going to sing in a minute, okay? 2 minutes. Okay. So then my mom got heavily bad on Xanax and all them, you know, depressive drugs. I started dipping into cocaine. I didn't know what I was doing. I was just trying to, you know, my mama was asleep, so I would take the car and go joyriding and all kind of stuff. That's when I first got introduced to cocaine. And I overdosed, and I didn't know that I overdosed. I had snorted like 4 grams at one time. I didn't know what I was doing. I was just, I went for it, you know. And I was with my cousin, and she took us back to our friend's house where we was at. And I overdosed. I guess I couldn't breathe. I got asthma, too, so it all just didn't work for me. And that's when I realized I don't want to do cocaine no more in my nose. So, after that experience, I just went back to the marijuana. And I was selling drugs by now. I had started selling dope. And I caught my first dope case, and they was like, well, you need to go to rehab. I was like, I don't do crack. I don't smoke that shit. La, 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 la. I even made a tape of that shit. I wish I can get it back. But they sent me to Austin Recovery. Austin Recovery, y'all, used to be on Rio Grande. Rio Grande. Come up here, honey. Go to daddy. Okay, I need you to go to daddy. So anyway, I got introduced to Austin Recovery in 1996. And I didn't think I had a problem because I was just smoking marijuana, you know. All the other ladies in there was on heroin and cocaine. And, you know, this it eats me up to this day because I didn't have children then. And marijuana is not a problem, right? It's not a drug, right? So I thought. And I was like, oh, y'all just don't want to take care of y'all kids. And y'all just don't want to do right. I'm just smoking weed. Y'all on this and that. Hold that thought. So I leave the place and I go back out selling drugs and smoking marijuana, violating my probation. I say 1996, I had my first child. And then I backdoored and had my second child and got married. Now, granted, I didn't know nothing about crack, like to smoke it, right? I was selling it, but I didn't know what it does. So me, I'm very curious, very inquisitive, and I want to know everything. Literally, I want to know everything. So, but I didn't just dive into what is that. So my husband at the time, I'm happily married to you, honey, but I'm happily divorced to the other guy. We had went on, I think a funeral. We was going to a funeral, and I had marijuana, okay? I went to sleep. He laced my joint. He took the last of my marijuana and rolled him a Primo. I didn't know what Primos was. I didn't know nothing. You know, I didn't know what it was. I knew I used to smell stuff that he used to smoke, but I didn't know what it was. So anyway, I woke up and I was like, roll me a joint. And he was like, I did. And I was like, okay, well, give it here. Not knowing he had put dope in it. And I lit it. And I'm like, what the hell is this? And I smelled the smell that I usually be smelling, but I ain't paying no attention. And he was like, oh, I just got a little bit of dope in it. And I was like, what? Why the fuck you put dope in it? You know, I'm mad. But then I got happy. Because I'm like, whoa, this shit kind of good, you know? And so I was like, well, you got some more? He's like, nah, we ain't got no more weed. So I was like, well, what we gonna smoke then, you know? And he rolled it in a cigarette, so that's how I started smoking Primos. And it was all right for a little while, and I didn't think I was addicted to it. No, not me. I ain't going to be addicted to no crack, you know. I smoke weed. I'm a boss, you know. Granted, back then I was fine. Ner, you know. And so my journey started, and he used to, I had my two kids, not these, I had my other, my grown kids, they grown now, one of them was supposed to be here, but she not, but I had my two kids back then, I'm married, you know, I'm trying to do the wife thing, and I have this addiction that I don't know about, and he used to come to my house and do whatever he do, but he used to leave crumbs in my house. And I used to get those crumbs when he leave and sneak and roll me a Primo. You know what I'm saying? Not knowing that 2 years later I'm going to be hooked on crack, for real. But I did that, and then like my life just started going. I couldn't keep my kids. My mom started keeping my kids, and I'm like, I'll be back. And I'm gone. And I come back. And I'm like, everything all right? I want to be mom, but I'm high. My mama didn't know I was getting high at the time. I didn't realize that I had an addiction, you know, to more than just marijuana. I'm thinking it's just, because everybody was doing it. Everybody was doing something around me anyway, you know. So I say about 1998, I divorced my husband. And I left my kids with my mom, and I met a guy. And that guy introduced me to the pipe, you know, and that's when my life flew out of control for real, like all the way. I started prostituting. I started doing all kinds of stuff that I said I would never do, you know. And this is, I had just started, so 1998 to about 2001, I was full force. My kids was taken away from me because I had went out and I told my mom, I'll be back. I'm coming to get my babies, you know. And she was like, okay. Because she had been hearing this for every day for the past year or two. So one night, I called my mom, and I was like, hey, I'm coming to get the girls. I had a hotel room on the north side, and I was pregnant. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to get my babies, and they going to stay with me now, and I'm taking my kids, you know. But I'm on crack, y'all. So, you know, and you know, some others, I thought that I can be a mom on crack. I thought that I can be a mom under the influence. I really thought I was doing what I was supposed to do. They saw me every day for a couple of minutes. I was giving my mama money that I made on the streets. So I thought I was doing something. My mom tells me, I don't have your girls. And I was like, what? She was like, I don't have your kids. CPS has them. And I was like, what? It didn't register to me that my mama just gave my babies up because I wasn't at home. And she couldn't take it. She was getting sick. But I wasn't seeing that because I was steady in the streets. So I thought I was fighting for my kids. I thought, that's how I got this scar right here. I got mad after the phone call. I had a fight. Girl cut me with a pipe. Y'all see it? Yeah. She's coming with a pipe, almost hit my jugular vein. I could have died. I didn't even know I was bleeding. Blood was just rushing out and stuff. I didn't know. I was so numb. Because I had smoke after she told me my kids was gone. After I cussed her out and was mad and hollering at her. because it was my fault, but it was her fault. Understand what I'm saying? So, you know, I'm mad, and the girl next to me then stole my stuff, and I'm my apparatus, and I'm ready to beat her up, so, because I'm already mad, and so we fight, and she cut me, and I don't know it, and then they butterfly me, and I'm together. So after that, I used my kids getting taken away from me as a crutch. Today, I can say I use it as a crutch to continue to get high, to continue to block my feelings, to continue to stay zoned out. And I stayed like that for 17 years. In and out of the penitentiary, 163-5839 is my penitentiary number, one of them. I've been three times, one state jail, Safe Pete, Austin Recovery, DNA. If y'all old like me, I remember DNA in Del Valle, the drug and alcohol program. And my life is just, I got six kids. And it's just been ongoing, nonstop. I've been raped twice, once by my baby daddy and once from a stranger. I'm paranoid, schizophrenia, bipolar, got PTSD. Most addicts do, right? and my life has really been, I want to say, it's been a journey. It's been a journey because to me, I feel like I used to have this thought that I used to go to jail, prison, and I get there, you know, everybody turn to God, right? And I turn to God, and I want to save everybody. And I was like, hey, maybe God made me an addict so I can get to you, or I can talk to you, or he can use me in this type of way and use me in that type of way. And that was my way of thinking. I used to really think like that. But it was me. I didn't know how to get out of where I was. I didn't take heed. I didn't try. I didn't do anything. You know, even when my kids was taken and I went in the courtroom, drugged up, falling asleep on a bench. And the judge told me she taking my kids. I cussed her out. But I didn't deserve my kids. I couldn't take care of them kids. I couldn't even take care of myself. I learned how to stop prostituting in 2001. I ain't never prostituted again, but I sold a lot of drugs. I stole, I robbed people. I've done some things, you know. I've been in a lot of fights. I'm not supposed to put my hands on nobody. I stole a car, y'all. Let me tell y'all this story. I got a little time. I was so drugged out. I was in a car with one of me, a dope fiend, me, but it was a guy. And I was pumping gas. I had just given him something, and he was supposed to take me to get another room or whatever. I'm so high. He's so high. He jumps in the car. He drives off. All my stuff is in the car, so I'm mad. So I go into Chevron, not knowing they got cameras at the gas pump. I went into Chevron. I said, hey, my hair's all over my head. I'm looking crazy. Y'all know it probably scared everybody in there. And I'm like, hey, I need a ride. And this guy was like, I was like, hey, can I get a ride? And he was like, no. And I was like, okay. So I walked to his car, and I seen the keys in his car, and I jumped in from the passenger side, locked the door, jumped in the driver's side, and drove off a Ferrari. And when I got to where I was going, I put the keys on the trunk, and I took off, not thinking that they had cameras there. 8 months later, I got a warrant for my arrest for auto theft. I'm like, I ain't steal no car. It was like, we got you on camera. And then they showed it to me. I'm like, ah! It was crazy, but that's how bad it got for me. I mean, it got real bad. I was sleeping in a car. I was sleeping. I've always had a car since I could drive. So I've always slept in a car, hotels, just different places. And I think I wanted to start getting clean, like wanted to start getting clean in 2015. And I really start trying to take my recovery serious and trying to do something right. And I failed. Behind a relationship. Have anybody y'all done that? I fell behind a relationship. And hey, you, I know you. Hey. She know me. And that's one thing that has always kept me in my addiction is relationships, love, my feelings, lack of love have always kept me knee deep in my relationship. Y'all don't have like no real huge exotic story to tell, but I can tell you this, that me being here at Austin Recovery, I know is one thing I took away from this place, and that recovery is not for people who need it. Recovery is for people who want it. And I had to want it. When I got pregnant with this soul right here, whew, Lord Jesus. Yeah, to you too. Hats off to you too, bud. it changed my life. And I'm not even going to sit here and say I was ready. I'm not. I had relapsed already. Then I found out I was pregnant. I wasn't ready again. Here I go with my sixth child. I'm not ready again. I had thought about adoptions. Hey, I had thought about adoption. I had thought about giving them away. I had thought about, you know, I was mad. I'm pregnant again. I'm smoking. Like, how you going to do this to me, God? Like, oh, no. Like, I just lost, you know, one of my kids was kidnapped for 7 years. We just found him 2017. He's back. And so I was mad. But then, like, my mom was dying, and she begged me on her deathbed, July 7th. I say July 7th, 2016. She said, please, baby, if you don't do nothing else, get off them drugs. She was rubbing my stomach. I'm pregnant with him. Rub my stomach, babe. Please get off them drugs. Please. I said, okay, mama. Okay. I didn't mean it, but I said, okay. 2 days later, I threw my pipe out the door at the hotel room after I smoked on my dope dog. threw everything away. I was still smoking marijuana, though. But I had put down a pipe, so it was July 9th, 2016. I ain't smoked no crack. But I was still smoking marijuana. I had him. My mama died July 19th, 2016. I had Adonis July 29th, 2016. Yay. And that's when my life changed. That's when I knew. When I had my baby, this last one, and I saw his face, my whole world changed. Granted, I did not love this kid inside of me. But when he came out of me, because I had to do an emergency C-section because he wanted to be cute and bust my bag with his butt. So I had to do they did an emergency C-section on me. And this little boy came into my life and changed everything inside of me. Everything. Matter of fact, Chris, I think it was you I talked to the week before I came here. Was it you or was it somebody? It was you, somebody I talked to a week before I had went to labor to him because I was tired, y'all. I was tired. I was sleeping in my car. It was hot. I'm mad. I'm mad at the world. I'm mad at myself. I went to, what you call that, PES. I told him I wanted to commit suicide. I was tired. I was sick and tired of being sick. And so I was tired. I couldn't take it no more. I didn't have nothing else to lose. My mama was gone now. And I swore to God, through my whole life, if my mama died, I was going to smoke oblivion, you know. Because that was all I had, my mama, you know. But I did it. I didn't. God didn't let me. Why, I don't know. I've had a lot of, I jumped at my mama car on I-35 in 1995, almost, she ran me over. I just broke my ankle, but she ran me over, and by the grace of God, when I rolled over, a car was like this close to my face on 32nd Street and 35. Why God spared me then? I don't know. You know, but anyway, just like, I'm just bits of, I don't know if it happens to y'all, but like, I smoke so much in my life, my memory is like blocked. Like, I can only remember bits and pieces. Maybe if you ask me a question, I might remember the answer. I don't know, it's just like really fogged. But like my whole life of my 17 years, like I can remember bits and pieces. I remember who died in their addiction. I remember some tragic moments in my addiction, but it's just a fog to me now. I really don't remember. I just know I was there, you know, and I don't know if anybody can relate to that. But I remember my recovery. I know that. I know where that started, and I'm happy about it. I get frustrated sometimes, but I'm happy about it. Anyway, so I called Austin Recovery a week before I was coming in. They was like, yeah, we have a bed for you at Family House. And I was like, okay, and I hung the phone up. I wasn't ready. I really wasn't, but I was just wanting to get off the streets because I was pregnant, and it was hot. So I wanted to get off the streets, so I called Austin Recovery. Also, because I knew when I went to have my baby that CPS was going to be there. I knew that because I was dirty. I had stopped smoking crack, but I was still smoking marijuana. I knew they was coming because I had got three rights terminated, one relinquished, and then I had a missing child, and then I had Donis. So I knew they was coming. So I had him. They came. And they was like, the investigator, she was dumb. She was new. She didn't know nothing. She was like, well, we're going to take your baby. I was like, no, you're not. And she was like, but you're dirty. I was like, I'm only dirty for marijuana. And she was like, no, ma'am, he has cocaine in his system. But I quit smoking 30 days ago. It wasn't 30 days, but it was still long enough to get out my system, you know. So she was like, I'm going to Austin Recovery. She was like, what is Austin Recovery? And I was like, huh? You CPS, who don't know about Austin Recovery? So she left, and I called the supervisor at CPS and told him that I was coming to Austin Recovery. They had a bed for me, and he was like, well, the only way you're going to leave the hospital with your baby is if you join drug court. And I was like, drug court? What is drug court? I had never heard of drug court. They didn't have drug court back in the days. So I was like, okay, I'll try it. So they let me leave the hospital and come to Austin Recovery with my baby. And I signed up for drug court, y'all. And it was the best thing that ever fucking happened to me. I promise you. It's hard work. I mean hard work. Not just staying sober, but dealing with people. I cuss Chris out. I cuss everybody here out. Bobby, everybody. Bobby was my counselor. I cussed everybody out. Because I was ready, but it was just too much. And then I had my baby, and I was alone, and it was just crazy. But I had to get through my emotions. I had to get through some things. I had to talk to some people. I had to break down some stuff within myself. Because my first counselor, she was a book counselor. I don't need no book counselor. I'm an addict. I'm a dope fiend. You can't book me. I need somebody that's been there. And so that's why I got Miss Bobby. Chris, no, that's why I got Miss Bobby to be my counselor. Anybody know Miss Bobby? She's great. Because you can't teach me how to recover if you ain't never been there for me. You know, you can't just book me on how to recover. Just like can't nobody tell me how to live a certain way or do something if they ain't never did it. You just can't teach me that. You can't. You can't. You got to have been, had some experience. So they had experience. She had much experience. And I dumped a lot of stuff out of my red wagon, if anybody know what that is. And I got through it, and I graduated Austin Recovery. October 29th, 2016. And I graduated drug court February 1st, 2018. And I relapsed on marijuana. Yes, I did. And I went through another year of CPS. I have an open CPS case right now. But today, I'm grateful because there's always another relapse, but there's not always another recovery. And I had to learn that through these doors, through other people. And I'm okay today. I'm all right with that today. I fought long and hard. He was gone. They came and got him July 25th. My daughter called CPS on me, said that I was beating him. I didn't know where he was, yada, yada, yada. That's a lie. And they came and took my baby. And I felt so just, I was gone. I didn't know what to do. But I kept working, and I was crying, and I was praying, and I'm making pizzas, and I'm at Pizza Hut answering the phone, and I'm crying, and I'm mad, but I'm praying, and God worked it out. Understand that. Me and my husband then been through, woohoo, hell, sleet, and snow, and he's still here. I got a lot of mood problems. I got a lot of anger still up in me. I have a lot of discomfort. I have a lot of insecurities today, but I'm sober today. Yes, Donis, and you all by yourself, honey, you do it, boo-boo. And I just gotta let y'all know that it's not easy. It's not, because we all fail. We all can fail. We all can fall on our face. It's picking ourselves back up, knowing that we all worth it, knowing what it was on the other side. I look out there, and I don't ever want to go back to them 17 years. I'll take what I'm dealing with now any day. Any day. I got my baby back June 21st of this year from being gone from us, and it is a life change. I've never been a parent. I was on drugs. This is all brand new to me. I don't know how to be a mom. I'm trying, though. I'm doing the best I can. But I'm loving every minute because I'm not missing nothing. I mean nothing. And I'm happy about it. I get to be an auntie today. You know, my nieces are with me. You know, I get to be a wife, a good wife today, you know. And I'm myself. I'm loving what God has showed me that I could have had a long time ago. Maybe I wasn't ready a long time ago. Maybe I wouldn't know how to treat what I have now a long time ago. You know, I wouldn't have known how to act now if I wouldn't have went through what I went through. So I don't regret my past, nor wish I shut the door on it. Because it made me the woman that I am today. I cry. I'm a crybaby. You know, I let you know how I feel, and I keep it moving. I apologize, babe. I know I was a bitch a little while ago, but I love you, and I thank you for being by my side, for real. Okay? Y'all crazy. Yeah, that's about how long I got. Okay, cool. Because I really know what to do. Just let y'all know that God is good, whoever your God is. But I know mine is Jehovah, and he loves me. He gives me the strength to make it every day, even when I want to fall down and just say, fuck this shit, don't fuck that shit. And another thing my counselor told me, she used it towards me and my husband, because, you know, we do couples counseling, is shoulds. The shoulds, don't should on nobody. Don't should on nobody. It sounds crazy, but when you think about it, you think, oh, well, they should have done this, or I should have done this, or you should have known. You know, I had to learn not to should on people. Not to shit on myself, because this is a learning process, and we are diamonds in the rough. Yes, we are, women. Hey. And we're a work in progress, and just let God keep working on you, and just keep taking that step forward, and taking it one day at a time, 1 minute. I love y'all.